You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. My co-host, Veronica Rickert, is off today. We're on the verge of a demographic milestone in the United States, according to the Pew Research Center. At some point, maybe this year, the members of the millennial generation will outnumber the baby boomers. Both generations are in the 75 million neighborhood, and immigrants are nudging millennials toward the number one slot. A lot of the numbers, of course, depend on definitions. Millennials are those born from 1981 to 97, at least in this study. Baby boomers from 1946 to 1964. But no matter how you slice it, these are two big generations of Americans. So does this passing of the torch mean something important for our society, for workplaces, for how we get along with each other? Jeffrey Arnett joins us now. He's a research professor in the Department of Psychology at Clark University. His books include Emerging Adulthood, The Winding Road from the Late Teens Through the 20s, and Getting to 30, A Parent's Guide to the 20-something Years. Jeffrey, thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
Well, I guess we knew this tipping point was going to come someday. What do you see as the significance of this this transition, more millennials now than or soon anyway than any other generation?
Well, I don't think we really know yet because they're still young. They're really just making their way into the workforce and into family life, and their life stories really have yet to be written. But I think you could at least say that their numbers will give them power in American society as a voting bloc. I mean, we know that they tend to be quite a bit more liberal than their parents or grandparents are. And so as they become older and the central part of the electorate, that could be reflected in voting patterns. We know too that they have more liberal views or more tolerance of diversity, shall we say, in sexual orientation, in religious beliefs. They are more likely to have friends who are from different ethnic groups. They're more likely to marry or have romantic relationships with other people across ethnic groups. So all those distinctive features that they have will be more and more part of American society as they move into adulthood.
Now, in your research, you focus a lot on this concept of emerging adulthood. And we're talking, I think, the 18 to 29 years, which is where the millennials, most of them, are now. Why is that time span so important? How much does it set the agenda for the rest of our lives?
Well, it's hugely important. It's the time when most people lay the foundation for their adult lives. And I gave it the name emerging adulthood as a new life stage because I really think that 18 to 29 is so much different now than it was 50 years ago when people were getting married and having their first child around age 20, 21, and when so many fewer people went to college or university than do now. So now the 20s has become this time of great flux and upheaval when people are trying out different paths but not yet settled until they get close to age 30. So I felt like that was a permanent change in the 18 to 29 age period, which is why I proposed it as a life stage instead of a generational change. I began studying them 20 years ago when there was a lot of talk about Generation X. And that book by that name had just come out, and there was a lot of talk about them as this sort of disaffected and aimless generation. But in my view, as I started my research at that time, I saw it as is already a permanent change, and it hasn't changed. It's just grown since the 20 years that I've been studying them.
Yeah, looking back at baby boomers, they weren't so much emerging into adulthood in that 18 to 29 zone. They were functioning as adults, I think, by most standards. Does that shape, color the way the baby boomer generation looks at Generation X and millennials?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, there is this generational antagonism that I've seen many times in the 20 years that I've been studying emerging adults, that boomers, the parents and other adults who are in that middle-aged generation right now, tend to scoff at the young and complain about how lazy and selfish they are. And part of that is just the way it's always been, the old complaining about the young. But I do think it's partly that things have changed fast in the last 30, 40 years, and a lot of baby boomers see today's emerging adults, and they're not getting married at 20 or 21, and not until maybe 29 or 30. and they stay in education longer, and they have a more unstable work pattern in their 20s, and they, rather egocentrically, I think, compare that to themselves when they were in their 20s. And because emerging adults are making these transitions to a stable adult life later than they did, they think there's something defective about today's young people. But there's really not. It makes sense to wait now until you're close to 30 to make those transitions, because you need to devote your 20s to getting an education and getting a stable place in the labor market. And there's no hurry to have to get married and have children either if you're only going to have one or two of them, as most of today's emerging adults want to do.
How much of that difference, that putting off those markers of adulthood, how much of that is the way that these new generations are being brought up and making a choice about this versus the economy, the changing nature of work and family, frankly, that they're going into? Where do we put the weight on this this different type of adulthood?
Well, that's another excellent question. We have made this shift over the last 50 years from a manufacturing economy to more of an information and services economy. And that does require more education or training after high school. People who don't get anything beyond high school are really behind the eight ball in the new economy. They have an unemployment rate that's twice as high as those who are college educated, and they make $1 million less over the course of their working lives compared to people who have graduated from college. So it is partly an economic shift. There is more and more of a reward than ever before for getting education, and so a lot of people are pursuing that. But it is also because expectations for work have changed. Today's young people, when they go into the job market, they're not just looking for a job. Even if it pays well, for most of them, that won't be enough. They want to find something that is personally rewarding and that they feel makes the best of their talents and interests. They pursue what I call identity-based work, meaning that they want to find something that really expresses the heart of who they see themselves to be. And that's very frustrating sometimes to boomers, who say, gee, kid, why don't you just get a job? Or parents will see their kid quit or turn down a job that pays well and has a health care plan and a good 401k. And the emerging adult will say, you know, I don't want to do it. It doesn't seem interesting to me. And parents will slap their heads and say, it's not supposed to be fun. That's why they call it work. That's forgetting that when they were young, they sort of invented the idea in that baby boom generation that work should be fun. But they feel like they've grown wiser.
So to the extent that a generation like the millennials might be getting a bad rap from earlier generations, how can they push back in a nice way or an angry way? How can they push back and say, no, it's a different time, we're different people, but it's a valid life path we're choosing?
Well, I think they feel kind of cowed by all the criticism they get, and they are young and they are inexperienced, and the people criticizing them are much older and more powerful than they are. But I do think there is a sentiment among them, I can't really say how widespread it is, that they're getting a bad rap from their parents and grandparents, and that it's not fair. I saw a great video on the internet the other day that was called, I believe it was called, Millennials, We Suck and We're Sorry. And it was this brilliant satire, all people in their 20s saying, you know, sort of apologizing for being lazy and selfish and useless as their elders see them. And then it gradually pointed out how none of those things are true in this subtle, funny, brilliant way. And that actually the boomers are the ones who ought to be ashamed for handing them this world where they have trillions of dollars of debt to pay off in the government that their parents and grandparents accumulated, and a ruined environment. So that sort of thing, that sort of fits the humor of the generation. It's sort of the John Stewart generation as far as humor goes. And it's a way of making the point rather gently, but nevertheless very sharply and effectively, that they really are getting kind of sick of being scolded by people who have a lot to apologize for themselves.
We're talking to Jeffrey Arnett. He's a psychologist at Clark University, looking at the rise of the millennial generation. We are on the verge of seeing millennials become the largest age cohort by numbers in the United States, and what that means for society, for work, and more. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like there are some overarching differences between generations, like the millennials, the baby boomers, us Generation Xers in between? Do you feel like there's a generation gap in your family or at your workplace? If you're a millennial, what does the world of work look like from your perspective? Do you think you're getting a bad rap from the previous generations? Join us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now about a generational passing of the torch. The millennials are on the verge of outnumbering baby boomers as the biggest generation in the United States. Psychology professor Jeffrey Arnett stays with us. We're talking about some of the implications of this transition, what might change in our workplace, in society, and how different generations view each other, how they get along. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. If you're a baby boomer, what do you think of the young adults these days? Or if you're a millennial, do you think you're getting a bad rap from the rest of society? How do you get along with people from different generations at your workplace? Or are we just overgeneralizing about each of these generations in the first place? 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Before we get to our callers, Jeffrey, I just wanted to touch on that last point I made. How confident can we be when we're making generalizations about a generational cohort when there's a lot of differences in terms of, you know, income, race, region, that sort of thing?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. And I generally try to avoid generational generalizations because of exactly that reason. But there is a certain truth that there are distinctive characteristics of each cohort of Americans. So I think as long as we keep that caveat in mind that they are diverse in each generation, I think we can have an illuminating discussion about what some of the differences might be. And as a way of talking about how social change is occurring over the long term. But these changes are really mostly gradual. They're not usually in generational chunks that are really distinct.
Let's get to our callers. We've got Becca on the line in Elk Mound. Becca, hi.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I so appreciate this show and especially this topic.
So what do you think about this?
Well, I am the daughter of two baby boomers. I'm 25 right now. My parents both waited until their 30s to have kids because they wanted to establish themselves in their own careers and that kind of thing. I just wanted to enter the conversation and just share a funny story about my family. Going through college, I worked three jobs. I graduated without any debt because of that. But I took longer than the specified 4 years for graduation. So because of that, I was told by my family multiple times that I wasn't working hard enough and that I wasn't going at a fast enough speed. Now, if you think about that, I graduated without any debt. My other siblings all have massive amounts of debt. However, they took less time graduating. So I just thought that conversation with my own personal family was really interesting coming from my parents' point of view.
You can't win. Thanks a lot for the call, Becca. So in some cases, no matter how you play it, the older generation's going to look at you as lazy, Jeffrey.
Yeah, I think that's revealing, isn't it? Statistically, today's students are much more likely than in their parents' generation to work while they're going to college. And it's because of the astronomical rise in the cost of college education. And it must be very irritating. She seemed to be taking it very well, but it must be very irritating to be working even harder than your parents did at your age and be told you're not doing enough, that you're somehow lazy because you're taking longer than they did to finish their four-year degree that cost less than half of what her degree does.
Becca, thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. We'll go now to Leslie in Lake Geneva. Leslie, hi.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I get along. I'm 60 years old, and I've worked since I was 18, and I get along great with the kids at work. But I just wondered with saying that millennials feel like they're looked upon as lazy or whatever, and that they want to pick and choose a job that they can relate to and be creative. I just wondered how many of those kids are living at home having the bills paid for them. That's the only time that I disagree with the, I'm not going to get a job until I'm fulfilled by it or whatever. You know what I'm saying? And as for Becca's parents, that's terrible.
Leslie, thanks a lot for the call. So, Jeffrey, I don't know. I know you do a lot of surveys of people, especially in the emerging adult range. Do you have a sense of how many are still living with parents?
Yeah, I do. It's about 40% who move home at some point after moving out. And the caller's complaint is a very common one. That somehow reflects selfishness or laziness or that they're spoiled or something. But I just haven't seen any evidence of that. They almost always move home for economic reasons. In other words, they can't afford to live on their own because they're not making enough money or because they live in an urban area where the cost of living is very high. So it's true, as I said earlier, they have very high expectations for work, and they don't want to take just any job and get on a career path that they're going to hate for the next 30 years. But I don't know why we should despise them for that. I mean, part of the value of this new life stage of emerging adulthood, where you stay relatively independent during your 20s and don't take on the commitments of marriage and parenthood yet, is that you can have more time to look to find something that's more along the lines of something that you want to do. I don't think we should scoff at that or ridicule that. I think we should celebrate it. I think they have a lot better chance of finding something they're really going to enjoy that way.
Leslie, thanks a lot for that call. Still time for you at 800-642-1234 or join in on the Central Time Facebook page. Jeffrey, to quote an old song title, why can't we be friends? Is there room for baby boomers, millennials, and the rest of us to get along with each other?
I'm glad you brought that up because actually they do get along surprisingly well. You know, I did a national survey of parents for my book, Getting to 30. I did a national survey of parents of 18 to 29-year-olds. And I was shocked at how positive they were about their kids, including their kids who have moved home. When I asked them, the ones who had an 18 to 29-year-old currently living home, if that was a situation that was mostly positive for them, mostly negative, or a mix of positive and negative. And I thought most people would say a mix of positive and negative. I mean, that's true about almost everybody you live with, I would think. But instead, the results were 61% said it was mostly positive. 6% said it was mostly negative. So 10 times as many were enjoying having their emerging adults at home as those who were wishing they would move out. It's funny that we have this cultural cliche that parents just can't wait to get rid of their emerging adult kids. It's utterly false.
No kidding. That actually surprises me to hear those numbers. You think this is a recipe for conflict. It's not something we really do in America. There's a stigma of being the younger person living there. What kind of things do people say about it? Why do we know why they're liking this?
A couple of things are going on. One is that the kids have become a lot more easy to get along with. I mean, I've noticed this in my interviews with emerging adults that they really come to understand their parents better and like them. And to parents, that's such a great payoff after adolescence, which is often a time of high conflict between parents and kids, that their kids then grow into their 20s and are such nice people and like to be around them. And both parents and emerging adults talk about it as being more like a friendship and that they really enjoy that friendship. And the other thing, I think, is that parents realize wisely that this is sort of the last hurrah, that their kids are going to leave, and as soon as they can afford to do so, much as they love their parents, they still would prefer to live on their own. And that once they leave that second time, it's probably going to be the last time. And parents value that relationship and value that closeness, and they know they're going to miss it when it's gone.
So, briefly, as we wrap up, Jeffrey, are millennials the wave of the future? Are future generations, do you think, going to see similar trends?
Well, I think so. I think, as I said at the outset of the program, I don't think their story is yet written. I think we can see certain trends, as I mentioned. They tend to be more on the liberal side politically and in terms of social issues like gay marriage. But who knows what will happen? They're still young. They're still emerging into adulthood. And it'll be great to see how their story turns out.
To be continued. Jeffrey, thanks so much.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
That's Jeffrey Arnett from Clark University. His books include Emerging Adulthood, The Winding Road from the Late Teens Through the 20s.